May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today. In this month of August, our lectionary sends us every 3 years deep into a dive in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. For 5 Sundays, meditating on what it means when Jesus calls himself the bread of life. It starts with a story of miraculous feeding of multitudes and continues with a discourse on what it means to be the bread of life. And this week, it gets especially vivid. Those listening questioned him about what it meant to eat his flesh. I suspect they were hungry, if you'll pardon my pun, hungry for an invitation to step back and recognize that this is metaphor, that Jesus doesn't really mean that we're supposed to chew on his flesh. But instead of stepping backward, instead of letting them off the hook to understand something simpler, Jesus steps closer. He doubles down. He goes in deep, insisting that we're invited not only to eat his flesh, but also to drink his blood. Now, thankfully, we're a congregation that has not been overly burdened with understanding all of our texts in merely literal ways, because this is deeply distasteful. It's provocative and offensive. This text invites us into an encounter with Jesus that is disturbing to all our sensibilities as humans. It invites us, it provokes us to ask more questions. What is he meaning when he says we're supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood? This is so offensive and provocative and disturbing. It invites us to look deeper, to consider what he must be saying. And I find in this text, invitation from our God to take seriously, to be disturbed by, to be knocked off center in our understanding of our lives and this world and how it all fits together. I think the Gospel of John wants us to notice and know, not to just accept that we can continue on with things as usual and add the good news of Jesus Christ, but that somehow the good news of Jesus Christ has to stir us up, has to disturb us and provoke us and offend us to a new way of being. And so here, again in the Gospel of John, Jesus provokes those he's talking them to, inviting them to ask more questions, to seek to understand something that seems impossible, and to go deeper in faith. We shouldn't be surprised. It was way back in chapter 3 that Jesus had that encounter in the dark with a man named Nicodemus, who was trying to understand what it meant to be born again. who insisted on the impossibility of entering again into your mother's womb to be born again. And instead of Jesus saying, "Oh, you're right, that's not what I meant," Jesus doubled down, said, "Unless you are born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot participate in what I'm doing." John is telling a story of a radical gospel that begins with the good news of a Word made flesh, of the Word, capital W, Word of God, that takes on human form, not in a theoretical or disinterested way, but in a visceral and deep way. And this morning, our gospel texts invite us to chew on that, if you'll, again, pardon my pun. Jesus is inviting us to know that he is bringing a revelation of God that is all messed up in, all knit together with, all up a part of our human lives. A life of the Spirit that is inseparable from the human, that invites us to reconsider everything we know about what it means to be human in the light of the invitation of God's Holy Spirit. If we were scholars of Greek, we would notice that John uses multiple verbs for eating, inviting us to think about what it means to chew and gnaw and nibble and munch and eat the Word of God. All of these an invitation to let God change us, to become a part of us at an elemental level, to disturb how we've been, to make us a new creature, now no longer merely ourselves, but also God. The Gospel of John invites us into a relationship with God that changes everything, that belongs in our bodies. And it's through bodies that Jesus reveals the mystery of who he is. It's through feeding multitudes. It's by turning water into wine that John reveals his being a part of God. It's through food and drink that Jesus' power becomes apparent on earth. There's a couple of things that I hear as invitations in this text that I need to hear again and again. And one of them is that I'm called to depend on God as surely as my body depends on food. I'm guilty of having been raised in a culture that prizes self-sufficiency, of taking care of things by yourself, that likes to imagine that we're able as individuals to do it on our own. But thinking of God as food requires us to think of the God on whom we depend. And in these days of enduring pandemic, in a time of climate catastrophe, in a season of ongoing international calamities and struggle in our own homes and communities and institutions, it's a gift to know that we are not merely ourselves, but that we're created to depend on God. We weren't meant to go it alone, but we are sustained by the gift of a God who provides, a Jesus who is bread, on whom we depend. This is good news because it hasn't worked out for me to go it on my own. Even when I thought I was doing it on my own, I was mistaken. I have always been dependent on a community around me that makes me who I am, on a gift of God who leads me onward, on a power of life that's far beyond me. To claim Jesus as bread is an admission, a naming, a claiming of our being a gift of God, that we are not unto ourselves, but we depend on one who provides, on one who sustains, on one who gives life. We are fed by God. And in days of struggle, in moments of anxiety and uncertainty, in the midst of a future that we can't quite yet put together, in the midst of solutions we haven't found, we're reminded that our God feeds us along the way, that we are sustained and carried on by a gift of God. This is such good news. Our faith is not meant for the times when it's all coming together beautifully. There is in our American culture, I think, an expectation that if you're a good church person, you show up to church because you're doing well, you've got it together, and you can come here to enjoy with all the others who've gotten it together how good it is to be a Christian. But Jesus, the bread of life, invites us to know that we belong here when it's not working out, when it feels like things are falling apart, when we've lost our bearings, when we're uncertain about what will come next or how we belong, when we have regrets about who we've been and grudges we're holding on to. We're called to come together, to be fed by one who is the bread of life. In introducing our epistle text today, John Holbert reminded us that these words were offered to the early Christian community because the community was struggling. We still struggle to be human, to be the body of Christ, to understand what it means to be divine love today. We come together because we need a power of life to sustain us, to become a part of us, and to remake who we are so that we can live grace and love and justice and peace to a world so in need. I was reading a commentary by the scholar Robert Hoke this week, who was pondering this passage in John's Gospel, this uncomfortable and offensive text where Jesus invites us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. He connected this moment back to the one at the beginning of chapter 6, as Jesus multiplied fish and bread enough to feed multitudes. He was reflecting on his own experience with fish growing up as a native Alaskan, the dried fish he came to know in his childhood, which are not the succulent, flaky fish of your dinner plate, but fish that you have to chew on, fish that require jaw work, fish that invite your engagement and wrestling so that they can be sustenance on your journey. He recalled taking them on hunting trips, carrying them, keeping them with you all day as a part of your sustenance, as an engagement with the physicality of being alive. And as a native Alaskan, he learned to think of this fish eating not only as the task of eating, but the fish invite an awareness of the whole process of catching the fish and cleaning and drying. The eating of the fish then comes with a deep awareness of where the fish comes from, of the work involved in bringing it to that moment. If we're thinking about eating like he learned to eat dried fish in his childhood, then to eat the Word of God, to consume the flesh and blood of Christ, is an invitation to let our whole selves be involved in this work and to let the good news of the gospel make a difference for our whole lives, to wrestle with, to chew on, to tug at, and to pull to our very core these questions of what it means to claim a God whose love found its greatest glory in sacrifice, who found eternal life by going through death. The invitation of the gospel is a puzzle that's not simple to solve, that's impossible to completely comprehend, but that invites us to engagement, to the with the whole of our lives with these questions of how to integrate this good news into our very being, how to participate with the whole of our days in the good news of Jesus Christ. And it sets such a high expectation for us. The good news of the gospel invites us to believe in God's deep love for us and for the world. John so eloquently affirmed again and again that God so loved the world that he gave his Son for the salvation of all. Making sense of that good news for our lives as individuals and our life as a community requires our engagement. And it becomes real as we make it a part of our ordinary lives, as we consider in the challenges that we face the good news of a God who goes with us, who offers grace and life, as we encounter puzzles and frustrations in the movement of each of our days, in the figuring out how to be with our families and neighbors and in this world, we are still chewing on the gospel. We are sitting with and we are held by a God whose gospel changes everything. We abide and remain in Christ then, not in a passive way, but in an active and ongoing participation that sets the puzzles of this moment, the challenges of these everydays, alongside and in conversation with the good news of a God who claims life out of death, whose grace comes out of love, who challenges us to love not only our neighbors, but also our enemies. As we sit with that, as we ponder it and chew on its reality, we find the gospel invites us in each moment to a deeper embodiment of divine love. We are the ones who are called to be a part of the work of becoming the body of Christ in this world, of letting it be integrated into our very selves. It happens not only in a big community level, but also personally, as we walk with, as we chew on, as we wrestle with, as we hold the taste in our mouths of the gift of salvation. May it be for us true food. Amen.